Let's find Matthew chapter 11 tonight. We'll get back to our series in the Old Testament, but it'll probably be after Missions Emphasis Month because we'll have some guest speakers on some Sunday nights. So I've been preaching some different themed messages for the last few weeks, and I want you to turn with me here in Matthew chapter 11 to one of the most well-known statements of Jesus in all of the Bible. Matthew chapter 11. And let's read tonight verses 28 through verse 30. And I'm going to ask you to read that out loud with me. Matthew 11, verses 28 through verse 30. Together. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. If you're taking notes tonight, we're going to title the message, I Follow, He Carries. I Follow, He Carries. Some observations from this passage, what Jesus said. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord's help. Dear God, we thank you that we can be here tonight. I thank you that the church is gathered, that we've assembled. And Lord, we've come to hear from you. I pray that the word would go forth clearly and directly. And God, I pray that it would challenge our lives. And it would encourage us tonight to let you bear the burdens and let you carry the load. Jesus, we thank you so much that you've come and you've said you're willing to bear our burdens, to carry our load. So I pray that tonight that we would hear from you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Look at verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Point number one. Don't you like that? I've already skipped through the introduction, already on to point number one. It's a record. It's write it down. Write that down in your notes. This is, and you're like, all right, we'll just get to it then. Okay, point number one. Really simply write this down. We learn from this passage of Scripture something that all of us already know, and that is that life is filled. What? You were going to know my point before I even said it. Ready? Life is filled with troubles and trials. That's point number one. Jesus does not ignore that. Jesus, in fact, addresses that in his statement. Can you imagine as the crowds gathered around and he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Life is filled, what did we say point number one was? Say it with me. Life is filled with troubles and trials. I believe it was one of Job's friends that in his great encouragement to Job, I don't think Job said it, I think one of the friends said it. He said, as the sparks fly upward, man is born unto trouble. That's not a very encouraging word, but there's some truth in it, and there's some reality in that statement. And Jesus comes, and if you'll notice two words under this point, the two words that indicate that Jesus understands life is filled with troubles and trials, it's actually three words. He uses the word, all you that what? All you that labor. And then he says, that and you that have what? Or that are heavy laden, you that carry a heavy load. So two pictures here are the pictures of being laboring and going through difficulty and going through trouble. And then the other one is of somebody carrying a load. Have you ever seen in a picture or on TV those African women that can carry, like, and you know what I'm saying, right? I mean, they've got this, like, water pot or something that's probably 6 feet tall, and they can carry that whole thing, like, on their head. And they're walking down with that, and sometimes they're just one hand up there, they're walking with that. That's a heavy load, huh? I did this lesson a few years ago, and we had a picture. It was hilarious. It was this guy in some third world country, and he had this strange setup where he had this cart behind him. And you can picture like a wooden cart, something that like a beast would pull. And it's just loaded with stuff. And somebody took the picture. This guy's got like a leather cord attached to the thing. And he's got the cord around his head like this. And he's walking, carrying this huge, heavy load. And think about that. Man, that is a heavy load to carry around. And I remember when I was a kid, we used to have to stack the firewood every year. My dad always said, the firewood will keep you warm twice. Yep, and that was once in the summer when you're splitting it, cutting it, and stacking it, and then once in the winter when you put it in the wood stove, and it did. But me and my brothers, I mean, we would do the wood, and we would fight. Can you imagine that? I mean, and Aaron will probably tell you that he got the worst of it, but, you know, he probably did. But, you know, we were rough, but we were boys. And, you know, if you thought the other guy wasn't moving fast enough, you know what you just started doing? Throwing the wood faster, okay? Aaron, did you ever get hit with a log? I was probably on the other end of that log, or my brother Josh. We'd throw those logs. But I remember, you always wanted it to go really fast, but Josh, I think he was the worst doing the wood with. I mean, I don't know, Aaron was pretty bad too. But I, of course, was great, you know, but that's because I'm telling the story. So we're doing the wood, and, you know, one person sometimes would just sit around, we won't say who, and that's when the logs would start flying. Anyway, let me get to the point. We wanted that to go as fast as possible, so every now and then we would get the system, and it would be, load me up. That was the word. Load me up. And it was like, I can get one more on there. And I mean, we're probably, you know, like 15, 16. We were all scrawny kids. And, you know, we're like holding these logs. And be one more. You take notes, Adam, okay? One more, then another one, then another one. And the wood, like, you'd kind of anchor it with your chin. And literally, we would carry this. And it never, or we'd do the same thing with a wheelbarrow. I mean, there are a lot of ways you can stack the wheelbarrow, because wheelbarrows are only, you know, if you've got a big, deep wheelbarrow, you still have only got this much space for wood. That's a lot of trips back and forth. And if you've ever seen under my dad's basement, you got to, like, tip your head and you get in there, it's a pain. So we would take that wheelbarrow, and the wheelbarrow, would, you know, you get one layer, but then because they're round, as they come up, they'd want to fall off, so then you stack it the other way. And, you know, we would have these, am I lying or what? No. We would have these things, like, stacked up. Here's the top of the wheelbarrow, and then the wood might be this much higher. You guess, yes, you can stack it on the handle. That's right. And you'd pick that wheelbarrow up, and like, whoa. And the key was, once you got that thing up, don't stop. Just move and keep going. Whoa, and you get it. You'd get it there. But we would load those things, and I can remember carrying so much, like piles of wood and getting it. Why? Because I do the same thing now. Not with the firewood, but groceries, okay? You know what I'm talking about? The groceries come in, and who wants to make 15 trips out to the, you know, to the car? So you get one grocery bag, and you know, the old days they were paper bags, but nowadays they're the nice plastic bags, and you got them all in your fingers, and then you get the jug of milk right around that finger right there, you know what I'm talking about? And then, there's one more bag left, but it looks like just napkins in there, okay? I bet I can get it with my pinky, you know? And I do that, okay? You carry, like, coming in with all, and then it's not like a wheelbarrow tipping over. Of course, that thing that you thought was napkins is full of, like, tomato cans, and you get halfway to the door, and psh, they all rip open. And it's like, well, why didn't you? And I used to work, when I worked at the landscape company, it was always, there was an old-timer that worked with us. He was, he wasn't like an aged guy. He wasn't super old. He was in his 60s. But for the kind of work we were doing, he was an old-timer, and he would keep up with us. But he had learned over the years how to pace himself. And so he'd be there working with us, and I'd always be carrying like 17 rakes. Dennis, you've worked with me. You've seen me do these kinds of things. And carry all, it's just not practical. But you all can relate to being heavy-laden. You bite off a little more than you can chew. You're hanging on to something a little too much. Well, I get that picture when I read the story when I read the account of Jesus talking here. Picture in your mind people going through life carrying heavy, and I want to use this word because I think there's a cultural relation to this word for us. People going through life carrying heavy baggage. Carrying heavy baggage. Okay? Just like carrying literally a heavy bag, all of us come to Christ at different stages and different points in our lives, and all of us come to Christ with a certain amount of baggage in our life, don't we? Heavy loads that we carry from the past. I did this as like a 10-minute devotional at camp one year, and what we did was I took a bunch of paper bags, okay? Bunch of paper bags, and, you know, like grocery store bags, and I lined them up on the platform, and then I dumped trash in the bags. Okay, and I bring a kid up, and I said, here's a bag, and here's another bag, and here's another bag. What's in the bag? Trash. I said, yeah, because baggage stinks, doesn't it? And then we think about, well, what do we mean by baggage in our life, these heavy loads that we carry? Well, you turned the bag around, and on that bag was a word written. And that word might have been something like divorce. Or that word might have been something like abuse or neglect. And you fill in the blank. But the point is, all of us, as we come to Christ in our lives, we've got these things. And they wear us down. You can think back probably to your past or to a situation that's happened, and you know that sometimes that is with us. That kind of baggage can be with us for a very, very long time. Point number one, life is what? Yeah, life is filled with troubles and trials. But the good part, Jesus said to come to me. Number two, Jesus offers to lift the load. What does Jesus offer to do in this passage? Lift the load. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he said what? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound good? Jesus comes along, and there you are in your life. And you've got all those bags. And you mark it down, because you know, you in your mind think of what those bags are that you've carried from time to time. And you come to Christ, and Christ says, let me carry that for you. Let me come and let me take one of those bags. And as we yield that area of our life to Christ, he takes the bag from us, and he carries it. And the load just got a little bit. Yeah. We've got to learn to let him take the bags, don't we? We've got to learn to say, okay, well, Jesus, you took that from me. Now I'm going to let you take this one. And now I'm going to let you take this. We learn a couple of things about we learn three character qualities about Jesus from this. And I thought about this. When Jesus comes and he offers to lift the load, the first thing is, boy, he's kind, isn't he? Jesus is so kind. Don't forget that. Don't forget that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's true. We tell it to the kids. God loves you. The Lord, he loves you. He cares about you. Don't forget, you, with all of your baggage, with all of your problems, with all of the sin and the burdens in your life, Jesus really does love you. He's kind. He's a loving Savior. And he says, I want to lift it for you. But not only is he kind, I can be kind, can I? I could be, but can I lift your load for you? Can I? I can try to help, but all I can do, or any friend or any earthly relationship, all we can do is come along and kind of share your burden with you. But I can't take it away. Why not? I can't handle it. See, not only is Jesus kind, but he's strong. He's able. He's powerful. He's strong enough to take the heaviest, the worst burden that you or I could ever have or that we've ever gone through, the worst thing any person could ever bear, Jesus can handle it. Jesus can bear it. Jesus can hold it. So he's kind, he's strong, and thirdly, as Jesus offers to lift the load, we see Jesus, he's willing to be our servant. I mean, have you ever checked into a fancy hotel? No. Somebody's like, no, never. Okay. I don't think I have either. Ever checked in, but you see it on TV, you know. You check into the hotel, and there's a bellboy, right? And it's the bellboy. He comes and he offers to what? The hotel manager doesn't do that for you, does he? No. The lowest person, the lowest people on the staff of the hotel, the maids and the bellhops, they come and they say, sir, ma'am, I'll take your bags for you. You realize what Jesus is doing? He says, I'll lift your load for you. I'll bear the burden for you. I'm willing to lower myself to come and to carry your bags for you. Jesus offers to lift the load. But he asks something of us, doesn't he? In order for Jesus to lift the load, the trials and troubles we deal with in our life, he says we have to do what? Point number three, we must come to him. You and I must come to Jesus. People talk about that in the media. Well, so-and-so had a come-to-Jesus experience. Have you ever heard somebody say that? And kind of, and they're really being kind of derogatory or mocking it. They say, well, he was in prison and he had a come-to-Jesus moment. There's a famous actor that is in the news media a lot. And he just recently made a statement like that. Who remembers who that was? Yeah, Shia LaBeouf. He just did a movie, and they just interviewed him, and he says in making that movie, and he, if you're familiar with him, he's had a really, really rocky last couple of years. He's only in his late 20s. And in that, he says in filming that movie and through some influence, he says that he came to know God in a real way, in a personal way through Jesus Christ. Now, I hope that's sincere, don't you? Okay? Let us not at all look to these Hollywood types and say, you see, we want our society to change, right? So we can't be the first voices to be like, well, we'll see what happens there. You know, we'll see if that's, what kind of attitude is that to have? Charity hopeth all things, believeth all things, right? So when we see something like that, if somebody says, then we ought to encourage that, we ought to say that's wonderful. Yes, there's a season where they have to, you know, we'll see the sincerity of these people's testimonies. That's true, I get that. But he's had one of these come to Jesus. But if we understand all of what Jesus taught, this isn't the first time he invited people to come into relationship with him, was it? He had made it clear in other passages. He'd made it clear through other scenarios what it meant to truly come to him. So for us, it's good for us to think about if Jesus has offered to bear the load, Jesus has offered to carry our burden, to take it away, but we have to come to him. What does that mean? Well, coming to Jesus begins with salvation, right? That's the ultimate come to Christ. It's to be saved. Jesus made it very clear, and the apostles made it very clear, that there's two components to any person truly coming to Christ. This is going to be the most doctrinal part of the message tonight, so I jot a couple things down. Jesus made it clear two things required for a person to truly come to him. Number one is repentance, and number two is faith. Okay? The two elements to a person truly coming to Christ, first of all, there has to be repentance, and second of all, there has to be faith. Well, what does that mean? Let's break it down into those two parts. Repent, very simply, if a person is going to come to Christ, they have to first realize, I have to first realize that I am wrong. I am wrong. I am broken. I am deeply flawed. I'm not okay on my own. I read an article this week that somebody posted on the internet. It was about a missionary who spent years and years I'd say probably the last 10 years, actually, in a Far Eastern country. It may have been China, I forget, but a Buddhist country. And she worked very personally with people, sharing the gospel with people, and she would see very, very few conversions. And then this is what she said, this is what would happen. They called them rice conversions. I never heard that before. But she said she would hear these reports because a lot of American teams from churches would come over on short-term missions trips. And they would do these great things like maybe help build a school or you know, all the things that you think of associated with missions trips. And she said, but it never failed. Every time she would hear about these people coming to her country and then going home, every time she would read reports, and it never failed. Every time there would be all these stories of people getting saved. And like how the group went over for a week and they saw, you know, 10 people saved or 15 people saved. And she was just a genuine believer trying to serve the Lord on the mission field. And she's like, I would read those things and I would get really discouraged, she said. Because she said, man, all these people are going over for a week And they're seeing more people get saved than me, and I've been here for these years doing this. But then her eyes were opened a little bit to what was happening. And what would happen is these Americans, good-intentioned people, would be doing a kind thing for someone, and they'd offer them the gospel. And they weren't telling people, well, if you want the rice or if you want the clothes, you have to pray a prayer. They weren't doing anything like that. But in the minds of the people there was, wow, these people are going to do all this for me. I'll just do whatever they want me to do. And so what would happen is some of the missionaries would call them rice conversions. Bowl of rice traded for salvation, so to speak. And she realized that that was happening a lot. And she thought to herself, boy, I mean, years and years of trying to help people understand that deeply ingrained Buddhism is not the answer. But and she's like, you know, in just a minute. And she realized, well, that's the problem. That's, you see, and I thought, as I read that, I thought, well, yeah. See, because for a person to say yes to Jesus, in that culture, they first have to say no to Buddha. Right? We're not saying that repentance is a work that people do to be saved. That's not what repentance is. But for someone to come to Christ, to turn to Jesus, means to turn away from whatever else your hope is in. And we've got to remember that as we deal with people too. I believe anybody can be saved. And I hope you believe that too. And we're never to give up on anybody. But remember, as we explain the gospel to people, they have to realize that, yes, Jesus offers you a wonderful relationship, but you have to come to him on his terms. There's even words that I use that I think we have to be careful using. You know, we talk about you need to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, that's not biblical language. We realize that, right? I'm not saying you can't use it. I'm saying if you do use it, you need to explain it, what you mean by that. Because everybody has a relationship with Christ. What do you mean? Everybody has a relationship with Christ. Doesn't mean it's the right relationship with Christ. But every human being is in some relationship with God. It just needs to change from a relation of enmity to a relation of forgiveness and acceptance and salvation. But people can say, oh, this is great. You know, Jesus will, you know, he's going to carry my load. He's going to take my burdens. Sure, I'll go along with it. Well, Jesus had a lot of people that followed him like that, didn't he? And then he said, but if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't follow me. And the people said, whoa, what are you talking about there? And they soon what? They soon walked away. Now, I don't think we should ever have this mentality that, you know, there's just a few of us. You know, we're the true believers. I think we need to be hopeful, and the gospel is powerful and can change lives. But at the same time, it's got to be heralded biblically. It's got to go out, and people have to understand. There are some people who make repentance a system of works, and that's wrong. They say, well, before you get saved, you've got to stop doing this and stop. You've got to clean your life up. That's not repentance. That's works. Repentance is something that happens internally where I come to the realization I'm wrong, I am in trouble, and I must come to Jesus Christ because he's the only hope, the only way. A friend of mine puts it this way, no plan B. You get that? If a person truly comes to Christ, they're saying there is no plan B. This is everything, lock, stock, and barrel. It's Jesus. And once a person is able to come to the point of repentance, they come to Christ in faith. And faith is simply to trust Christ. Faith is simply to say, yes, Jesus, I'm in trouble, but I trust you. I believe you. You died for me. You rose again for me. And we come to him in simple, childlike faith. So let's get back to practical terms for you and for me. Through repentance and faith, each one of us comes, using this biblical term, through repentance and faith, each one of us comes to Jesus at the moment of salvation. And when we come, he offers to carry the load. Correct? But we don't always, yeah, he does offer, but we don't always let him carry the load, do we? We don't. So then how do we let him carry the load? What do we have to do? Well, and how do we do it? We come. The same way we came for salvation is the same way we come to have the load carried. And what way is that? Two steps. What were they? Repentance and faith. You realize, and I think this is something that's not made clear enough for us, and we need to realize it all the time. Repentance and faith is not just the entry point of the Christian life. Repentance and faith is the Christian life. You see, when a person is truly converted, their heart is changed to a heart that needs to always seek repentance. See, when you become a believer through that repentance and faith, and then the plan is that you never stop constantly repenting and believing, repenting and believing. The Bible uses the word believe in the book of John, he that believeth. You know, that signifies a lot of times in English when they added that F to the end of the word, not always, but often it signified what's called a linear tense in the Greek. In other words, it's a continuing action. We are the ones that are believing in Christ. It began. Do you remember what John Newton said in his song Amazing Grace? How precious did that grace appear the hour I what? I first believed. But then that belief continues through our life. And as long as the belief is there, as long as the repentance and faith is there, the grace is there. And the grace flows. The grace flows through our life, through repentance and through faith. So listen, if you've come here tonight and you've been beaten down this week and you're carrying something heavy and it's just you're having trouble getting through, the first thing you need to do, believe it or not, is you need to repent. You need to come to Christ and say, Christ, I'm sorry that I think I can do this on my own. I repent of my stubbornness. I repent of my pride. There's other factors that could have. I repent of the bitterness that's causing me to continue to carry this load. And I'm just going to trust that you can carry it for me. You're like, well, that sounds too simple, too easy. Well, in a sense, I can understand why you would say that. But in another sense, that's one of the most difficult things for you and I to do. To let go of the thing that sometimes this baggage has become our identity. Well, I was abused, and that's who I am. No, that's not who you are. I went through a horrible relationship in my life, and that's scarred me. Jesus bore the scars on Calvary. Jesus paid the price. Well, I made this terrible mistake in my past. Jesus was crucified for that, not you. So you've got to repent and come to Christ. Well, I did that when I got saved. Yeah, you've got to do it regularly. A life of constant repentance and faith. All throughout our Christian journey, that's living by faith. Most people come to Jesus for salvation and then try to carry their bags through the rest of their life. So if that's you tonight, let him take the bag. Let him go. But there's one more thing, though. There's a key to this. The key, number four, the key to letting Jesus carry your load is staying in a certain type of relationship with him. Look at the text and tell me what that relationship is. It's an agricultural relationship. Yoked. The key to letting Jesus carry your load is staying yoked. Staying yoked with him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't that an awesome promise? And he says, though, take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says, I will carry the load, but you've got to put your head in the yoke. Maybe most of you have seen a yoke. I don't know if all the kids in here have seen what a yoke is, but a yoke was a wooden or a metal device that would take a team of oxen and you'd put one part of the yoke around this oxen's neck, and you'd take the other part of the yoke and you'd put it on this oxen's neck, and then wherever one of the oxen went, guess what the other one would have to do? He'd have to follow, and they'd always have to move together. If one went this way and the other went that way, they weren't going anywhere. Now, the problem is, well, it's not a problem for oxen, because the farmer, he puts the yoke on the oxen and they can't get out of it. So they're going to operate as a team no matter what. The problem with you and the problem with me is I have to decide to put the yoke on my neck. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice. People, it's a saying that goes around a lot. The only problem with living sacrifices is they always want to do what? Do you know? Have you heard it? They always want to get off the altar. And in the same way, Jesus says, I'll carry your load, but I expect you to bear my yoke. Now, it's not a heavy yoke. It's not an uncomfortable yoke. In fact, you're going to find it's easy and it's light. But Jesus says, wherever I go, you've got to go. And this comes back to this idea of repentance. There's a lot of people that say, okay, Jesus, you carry my bags and I'll go this way. Don't we act that way sometimes? Well, Jesus, do this for me, and then I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. Did he ever promise to carry our load in that situation? He didn't. When we follow Jesus, he carries the load. We can't expect to walk in the opposite direction of Jesus and then expect him to carry our bags for us. How presumptuous, right? How rude. How arrogant. And unfortunately, the problem with the idea of easy believism or this idea that, you know, it's one thing to be saved, it's another thing to be a disciple. I don't believe Jesus ever taught that. I believe he taught that salvation is the beginning of following him. It's not, well, I first decide to get saved and then I decide to be a disciple. Jesus never taught it that way. We get saved so that we can follow Jesus. Because the problem, the other way, is to say, Jesus, I want all the goodies that you have to give, and then I want to do whatever I want. But he never promised to give us the goodies if we just do whatever we want. Now again, you've got to be careful, because that's not teaching a works-based, well, I do my part and then God will reward me. That's not the point. He's not asking us to do anything except have a heart that wants to stay close to him and have a repentance. Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. We're going to wander astray and he's going to pull us back. And as we go through life, the desire has to be, God, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to take it seriously that I'm going to bear your yoke. I'm going to follow you because I want you to carry the load. I want you to carry the burden. I don't want to carry it anymore on my own. So as we conclude tonight, which you could be here and you could be one of two people. I've known both types of people in life. Some people, they want to follow Jesus. They want to do the right thing. But they just can't trust him enough to let him carry the bag. They feel like they have to do it. I have to carry it. This is just my burden to bear. Well, then you need to repent of that and give it to him. That means you're a legalist. That means you're a person that says, I'm going to do this for the Lord. I'm going to carry it. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to do it. He doesn't want you to do that. He's the strong one. He's the kind one. He wants to carry it. So if that's you tonight, then you need to repent and you need to come to Christ to let him take your load. But you might be that other group of people, that other type of person, and you might just have a flippant, arrogant attitude that says, well, you know, Jesus will just carry it all for me, he'll do it all, and it doesn't really matter what I do. That's the person who won't stay in the yoke. And I've known people in life that just, I mean, they hit their head against the wall over and over and over and over again. And they're like, God, how come nothing ever works out for me? Where are you? How come you're not here to help me? You promised to carry the load. But they never stop and evaluate and say, well, am I walking with him? Am I in the yoke? Am I following? So which person are you tonight? Because I have a feeling that if we each examined our hearts tonight, each of us would find ourselves maybe at least just a little bit drifted into one side or the other. Huh? I think if we're honest with ourselves, we'll find it because none of us are doing this Christian thing perfect. I hope you don't think so. We'll have to do a whole nother message. I'll start preaching again something there. None of us are doing the danger, different personalities, different people fall on one side or the other. You're either focusing on your own performance and you're a legalist, or you don't care at all and you're licentious. Either way, Jesus wants to carry the load. You've just got to examine your own heart, and you've got to do some repenting, and we've got to do some coming to Christ. Amen? Really simple. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't have anybody playing the piano here tonight. But let's just take a minute. Is there anybody here that would say, you know what, God spoke to my heart tonight? All right, hands all over. We don't need music to have an invitation, do we? Let's come to the Lord right now, and let's repent, and let's come to Christ in faith tonight and give him the burden. Do you need to come? Do you need to leave it at the altar tonight? I know you don't have to do it at the altar, but sometimes that does something to us. Let's go to the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we could be here tonight. We pray now as we go that we go in your strength, we go closer to you than when we came, and help us to walk each and every day this week with you. We pray now, Lord, that you'd bless our Wednesday night event. God, I pray that the Harvest Fest would draw folks here. I pray that our testimony would be powerful to them, that it would be Christ-like and Christ-honoring. And Lord, we pray that you'd do work in our midst through this outreach and help us to be faithful to pray and to prepare this week. We love you, praise you. We pray that you'd dismiss us in your love and in your care. In Jesus' name, amen.